The Poland was a sliding doors of my career. I spent 8 years in a EuroLeague organization, and I taught to almost know everything. But I always think and say that the players at the end of the season shake your hand and leave with your money, and you are without anything. NBA is, wow, Luka Doncic, unbelievable. Yeah. I think that if you allow somebody to score 8 in EuroLeague, you are fired the day after. At the end of the season, if every player I coached would love to stay and be coached by me one more season, that's the best award. Or if going to another club say, hey, but that coach changer that was the game changer for me, that's the best award.
Hello, coach.
Hello.
Or I can say buongiorno.
Buongiorno, dzień dobry. Dzień dobry.
È un piacere con parlare con te. Thank you for joining my podcast. It's a great pleasure that finally, after some years, we have chance to talk. And especially, thank you for hosting me here in Brescia.
Oh, it's a pleasure for me to be part of your podcast. Is a great pleasure for me to talk to a Polish guy. It's a great pleasure to talk to everybody. Keep following me. After my experience in Poland, it was a huge part of my journey.
First of all, where is your home right now? Because you are a guy who comes from Castel Fiorentino.
Yes.
You spent many years in Siena, but now, yeah, you spent before the first part in Siena, in Brescia as an assistant coach. Now you work another season there. Where is the place you consider as a home?
I mean, that's a good question, and it's something that many times I also, ask it to myself. I consider home where I have, important persons of my life. Obviously my family is following me after the season in Russia and then Poland. So they are in Brescia since 2016, the season you said. I was the assistant coach, associated head coach of coach Andrea Diana. I still have my parents in Castel Fiorentino and my closest friends where I was born, but we are like a gypsy when we do this job. So every season or after a cycle of 3 years, 4 years, you have to, if you are lucky, if not sometimes even after 1 year, you have to move and you have to, reset and restart every time. So right now I consider Brescia like home because I have a lot of friends, my family is here, my daughter is going to school here. I feel amazing. It's a great connection with the ownership, with the fans. So obviously I consider right now Brescia as a second home.
And during the summer you have like Italian junior national team.
No more.
But I was wondering, when you as a coach have, the club during the season and national team during the season, how you find free time for your family?
Oh, it's not easy. It's not easy. We have just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks that usually I try to switch off completely from and detox from basketball, but it's almost impossible because that during the season, especially the last two summers, where I was head coach of under 20, so European Championship in Montenegro, Podgorica, then Heraklion in Greece. Unfortunately, not the next one that will be in Poland, and I would really love to come back to Poland, but you have even to think to build the roster of the next season. So mostly you never stop thinking about basketball. But I need and I have to try at least a couple of weeks where I can enjoy the family, going to seaside or having some family trip for my wife and daughter. But during the season, mostly, especially if you have the cup and the European competition, there is no chance to have it. The only one is like now, because we already restarted after the Italian Cup. I gave 5 days off to my players and I took 5 days off so that we can mentally and physically, recharge the energy and the batteries for the last rush.
when I was doing interview, preparing for interview, I was thinking, because in your Instagram bio there is a saying, always have Ithaca in mind. What does it mean?
That is a poem, is a Greek poem, that is mostly what is driving me for many years. Is the poem, you know, probably if some of my former Polish player will watch this podcast, will remember that. And some of them sometimes text me, Ithaca. Ithaca is a kind of way to approach the life. We are not considered just the final destination. We give importance to the journey you are having. So Ithaca is what give you the strength and the will to start your journey. But then, at the end, what really cares is what you are doing during your trip, during your journey. And I would love to add another part to this that is not in the poem, but is something that I was thinking about. Then is also the company you have during the journey. So, for example, you are lucky because today, you know, came our former strength and conditioning coach with his son to meet us. He's not working with us no more. But if during your, year by year, season by season, you met people and those people have the will and the pleasure to come back, to meet you, to text you, that means that you are leaving something to them. And this is, I think, is something that is part of human being and something that you have to take care mostly than winning a game or losing a game. It's what you create, the bonds you create with the person you meet. And I'm talking, for example, about Polish experience with President Łukasz, with assistant coaches, with Kiero, with everybody I was able to live with, and the players, obviously, are connections that are going over the record at the end of the season. I don't know if you understand what
yes,
I mean.
Yes, yes. But I don't want to talk about tactics or basketball aspect, because I didn't train basketball, I play on the streets. So, but from what you're saying, I think you care more, you have big care about managing a good relationship with the players and the staff and building this connection. Is it true?
That's completely true. I think that obviously, to be a professional head coach, at least I think you have to be prepared technically and tactically. And I'm not arrogant to say that I'm the best, because for sure are a lot of much better coaches than me. I'm not too much humble or fakey humble to say I'm not good on that. I think that I have the knowledge enough to try to manage the technical and the tactical situation at the pro level. But I'm strongly convinced and I strongly believe that what can give you the extra step is what you do managing people, managing mind, motivating the players and creating bonds with them, connections with them. I think is the totally different is between assistant coaches and head coach. When you are assistant coach, you are lucky because you are paid to do what you could do for free. Because you work doing your passion, you watch games, you prepare the report, you give the report and forward the report to the head coach, and you are just thinking about what we can do here, edging on pick and roll, switching, horns down, step up pick and roll, whatever you want to talk about. But then what is important is what you are able to the part of the soul of the players that you can touch, to try to move them to be everybody on the same page. Because this is my 20th professional season. I started to be assistant coach in 2004, so it's 20 years. And in those many years, what I think I understood is that really what I really care is not the players, but the persons I have in front. Because you can talk to the person even if you have a bad day, a bad game, a bad season. But what I really care is to try to have a connection with the players personally. Because I think that then if we talk with persons, we can achieve unlimited goals.
You were 22 when you started working as
exactly.
And I was wondering, because it was such a young age as a, for a coach, and I was wondering, do you consider maybe yourself as a, some kind of coaching version of Wonderkid?
Like, no, I mean, I'm no wonder, but I think in life you need opportunities. Sometimes you need even to be lucky. Then after that, the life is giving you opportunities. You have to be ready and good enough to keep all the maintain those opportunities and transform these opportunities in a kind of career, you know. I was first of all lucky to understand that I couldn't be a good player. So I was quite good, but at the we call it minors, you know, at the lower level. I was lucky because I was born in Castel Fiorentino. There's a very, very good tradition of basketball, even more than soccer. You know that Italy is a soccer country. And so I started, not really immediately, to be honest, but I started and I had friends that used to play basketball in this team, and I joined them. And everything was amazing. I mean, the environment, the friendship we have, we are still best friends. Some body of them are best men at my marriage and vice versa. But then very, very quick, I understood that I really love to try to transfer the passion, at least, because I cannot say the knowledge when I was 16 or 17 years old. But I started to coach immediately, being assistant coach of other coaches in my small village. And so I started really, really young to coach. Then the other situation that I was lucky was that the coach that made me the last, the final exam of the first coaching license was Walter De Raffaele, now he's in Tortona, was former coach in Rayer Venice, you know, so he's pretty famous. And he became head coach in first division in Livorno. And after 2 months, he called me and asked, hey, I just got a job for the new season. I need a second assistant coach, a video analyst. So do you would like to come? And I say, why not, you know? And I started in that way. Then was, you know, very, very quickly, Livorno and Reggio Calabria with him. Then I was called by Monte Paschi Siena that built the dynasty in those 8 years. Then 2 years in Omegna, in Piemonte, as a head coach, my first experience. And I was 30 years old, 32 years old. Then 3 years as I said, a coach here in Brescia, Lokomotiv Kuban, Dambrova Gornica for 1.5 seasons, because you remember the COVID period, unfortunately. And then after Poland, not because I'm talking with you and you are Polish and we are talking mostly to Polish people, but really, the Poland was a sliding doors of my career. So having accepting that challenge with President Ukas in Dąbrowa and having that quite good season, the season after, gave me the credits to then have the chance to even come back here in Italy and keep doing what I'm doing. Obviously, the decision at the beginning was to stay in Dąbrowa for other 2 years. But I, like I told you, I was alone there. Was a COVID. Was 2 years very, very bad with my, you know, wife and daughter. And so I needed to come back at home at the beginning and understand what to do. And then I was lucky because Brescia called me and offered me the head coach job, and what we are doing, you could check.
We'll talk about Dąbrowa Górnicza later, but you mentioned Monte Paschi Siena. When I was a kid, I remember in Italy two great clubs who are leading even in Europe, Monte Paschi Siena and Benetton Treviso. And like from your perspective, what was the secret of success at that time of Siena? It was only just because of the money? Or maybe what makes this team so good that even today many people like they miss Siena in like the top Italian level?
First of all, think that Siena is really small. It's 50,000 people, so obviously the budget and the money used to come from the main sponsor, yeah, that was the bank. But like you told me before out of the interview, you can have money and spend it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
So I think that money are important, but are not the only thing you need. One of the secrets, I think, is that everybody, and I didn't find that so often, everybody there was were really involved. Everybody in every role. No one would like to step over some other feet. So I never thought to be associated head coach. The associated head coach, Luca Banchi, that now is in Virtus Bologna, never thought to be head coach instead of Pianigiani. So everybody tried just to be the best person possible for that role. And the passion and the engagement we had was amazing. That's one of the main ingredients to start. Then obviously I was there from 24 to 32. So for me it was like going to university, you know, just to try to, like a sponge, to steal from everybody. And the method and the work ethic we had there was really amazing. I think we are doing quite good here, because I found an owner, Mauro Ferrari, that allowed me to try to bring something that I learned there here. Obviously, there are a lot of different scenarios around. Now, many people think and talk about Siena just because the black money at the end. But what I remember is what we used to do at the minus one floor, where the office of the coaches and everybody were trying to do to don't lose the games instead of winning. We really hate, the attitude was really hate of losing. And was a fight like, you know, is the history of the city with the horse racing, the Palio, you know, everybody, the fans, really, really hot, really involved. I still have the, you know, the feeling, exactly, the goose. It's amazing. It's amazing what was there, and it's really a pity to don't have still a such of a club at the higher level, because when you step in that arena, it's something amazing, really.
And what are the best lessons you receive from working with Pianigiani and later with Luca Banchi? Because I know when you have chance to compete against each other, for example, in a Super Cup,
yes,
you said in interviews that you gave to Banchi big credit, that he helped you to develop yourself as a coach.
For sure. Obviously, when you are an assistant coach, especially if you are so young in a EuroLeague season where there are many, many games, many trips, many days you spend more with the players and the coaching staff than staying home, you spend a lot of time with between assistant coaches, you know. So from Simone, Simone is one of the smartest guy I have ever met in my life. And in a way, he's able to have relationship with managing people, the press, the president, the ownership, and everybody is like top class. And I tried, even if at that time I was obviously more oriented to understand about X's and O's, to understand basketball. I was really a kid. But he gave me a lesson how to treat, how to act in different situation, and he really was a master on that. From Luca, I probably got more than how to, you know, the method of preparing, of managing the practice, players, and everything is techniques and tactics. And that's the reason why most of the time our teams are playing even a bit similar, you know, because I gave him all the credit. Obviously, I think that you can have a kind of heroes in your life or mentors in your life. Then I think that you have to take what you love and let, you know, those things be and connect with yourself. So, for example, I would love Obradovic. but I'm not Obradovic, so I'm not act like him because I have not the same credits that he has, but just because he's out of my character, I have a different character. But I took everything possible from him, and when I said that he gave me almost everything, and I gave him, you know, a lot of the percentage of the credits about who I am now is because it's true. I just was there listening and trying as a young kid to learn from a better person and better coaches than me.
Italian coaches are in general considered as a quite good coach, like
who... Only quite?
who are liked by no foreign clubs even. And I was wondering, is there something like Italian coaching school existing? Like, what do you see some similarities you Italian coach have?
For sure, we have a very long process to have, for example, the top license for first division is 10 years of studying. You know, you have three. I mean, at my time, now probably something is changed and I didn't check. But at my time, you had 2 years of studying, 2 years of working with that license, then other 2 years, and then 2 years, and then the last step. So it's about 10 years of studying. And in those courses, they try to give you, you know, once again, the method in the way to have a methodology, to have a progression when you try to teach something to the players. And those things are pretty important when you want to do something on the court, and I'm talking about X's and O's. Then probably is how we are in order of trying to have we call empatia, you know, try to connect with people. I think we are different respecting other countries or other coaches. I think is in order what I learned being in Russia and Poland and mostly in Russia is I think every person is a bit son of the history of his own country, you know. And the history of Italy is because we are artists. We cannot be strictly like the Deutsch people or the, but we are open. You see how much I talk.
Yeah.
I love to talk, you know, and we are different respecting others just because being Italian, you know. So I don't know if it's a secret recipe about, but I think that we are really able, not only in order of being artists, but being able to manage people and talk with people just because it's in our DNA.
From today perspective, do you think Alessandro Magro was good prepared for being a first coach when he signed with Omonia?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's a really good question. I think that after many years, I'm not blaming nobody, not myself, not Omonia, to selected me. I think that that one was not the perfect place to go at that moment. Because like I told you before, I spent 8 years in a EuroLeague organization. And I taught to almost know everything. I had PDC, Players Development Coaching, with Daniel Hackett, Rimantas Kaukenas, Terrell McIntyre, Benjamin Eze, Sean Storrock, and blah, 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 and so on and so on. And I met at that time a level that was mostly the third division with two American players. So it's not their fault, and I think probably if I think now it was more my fault. But I wasn't ready to handle that situation because for me, from 24 to 32, I saw a way to do things, and wrongly I thought that that was the way to do things.
So you were used to good level, and now you had to...
Exactly, to handle with a different level. I don't want to say better or worse, but completely different level without the same... and I didn't found the same things, not even close, that I got the habit to find. So at that moment was really, really painful for me to see that I was not able to transfer what I would like. It's like, an alien that is coming to Mars and is trying to speak with the people from Italy. and they are not able because they are talking a completely different languages. But right now, coming back, I think that was good to smash the face. It's good to smash the face in many times in your life to try to understand, okay, now what's going on, what I can do to... I was even judging myself and thinking, probably I'm not able to coach. Probably I'm, you know... It's good sometimes to fall, to have failure. Or like Denzel Washington used to say, sometimes you suck in life. And you have to embrace it, and you have to accept it, and then understand what you can do better the day after.
Many times when I spoke with volleyball coaches or basketball coaches, some of them thinking that once you become head coach, you shouldn't go back to being assistant. But you came back to be assistant in Brescia and Kuban. It wasn't hard for you to like...
No, it wasn't hard, just because like for the reason why I answered the previous question, I just called it to my agent and I say, Max, Jaco, this is not my level, but not because I want to be arrogant. This is not the level I've been in for many years. So it doesn't matter about being assistant coaches or head coaches, I would like to come back at the highest level possible. And once again, I really care. I want to emphasize and underline, not because being arrogant. It's because I was, you know, I felt like a fish out of the pond, you know, out of the sea. I couldn't really manage that situation. Probably now I could do. Probably now I'm, you know, after many years of experience, many different countries, many different situations, good money, less money, incredible money, in order of having one assistant coaches, five assistant coaches, you know. Yeah. You can be able to manage every situation. But at that moment, I wasn't ready. So I say, if you find a situation for me to come back to first division, even as assistant coaches, I feel that I'm ready to do that. Then obviously, after so many years, because we are talking about 10 years ago, so was once again assistant coach at the EuroCup level, then head coach 1 year and a half in Dombrova. This is my third one. So obviously now I have to consider, like the coaches you mentioned, I have to consider where, you know, NBA is calling, EuroLeague is calling, obviously you consider. If not, I try to continue, if I can, and God bless me, to continue this career as a head coach.
And what were the biggest difference in Brescia when you compare this first time we were assistant coach and now? I mean, the club organization.
It's completely different. And this is one of the situation and the to complete the deal with the owner, I said, I know, because you know that the ownership has changed respecting the past, so it's not the same. When I was here as assistant coach, Germani, so Mauro Ferrari was just title sponsor, I mean main sponsor, but now he's the owner of the club, so it's completely different. But when I arrived, I said, I know exactly how I was here and I was working here, and I think that I cannot perform at the right way if there are these and this. And so I said, I mean, I obviously, you know, have to talk with my family for coming back in Poland, but I was considering really strongly the chance to come back in Poland because I had to adjust something and, you know, even the club would like to help me for the school and everything for my daughter. But I said, you know, if there are no, those things are not like I would like to do, I cannot accept.
So what were the biggest improvements at club?
I think that we reset everything. I just had the chance to sign Marco De Benedetto as a sports director. That is amazing. He was with me and I started to work with him here. So he's not a kind of guy that was working with me in the past. But we knew each other. We have almost the same age, I know how he was working, and I needed a guy close to me with the same fire, with the same desire. Then I kept the assistant coaches that I knew from the first experience in Brescia, that at that time I had the chance even to, let's say, help to develop and grow as my ideas, so I match with them perfectly. I asked for a players development coach from United States, and so one of the main things I used to say every time, many times I think the clubs and the owners make the big mistakes to spend money for the players without having a good organization. But I always think and say that the players at the end of the season shake your hand and leave with your money, and you are without anything. At the beginning of a new program, you have to build the organization, because the organization is who you are. You have to select sharply the person of the organization, because then the organization stay year by year, even for 10 years. And those are your business card for the others. Then one season you can sign Mike James, and some season not. Sometimes you can win the title and sometimes not. But what has to clear for everybody around you is how you work, how is your program, how you develop the players, and that's help you, obviously, and that is helped from the person you have in your organization. That's the most important thing.
Now you have also David Moss in your staff.
Exactly.
And I think his first professional season was in Poland.
Was a rookie in Poland, exactly.
Yeah, so, but do you see in him potential to become a head coach?
For sure he has potential now to have a changement on his mind. It's never easy as a player when somebody arrives and say you cannot be player no more. Obviously he could still play, even if he's 40 years old, 41 years old. His shape is amazing. But we decided to have a season without a cap. We decided to have 10 rotation players and not 12. So I had no space for him as a foreign player. So being honest, I went to him and I say, Dave, this is the situation. If you want to find another job as a player, you are free to go. If not, I would love, because I know you from 6 years. He was hanging my daughter when she was 15 days. So, and now he's 11 years old. So I want to give you the chance to stay here, to stay close to your son, and to stay in the basketball business. What you can do is being my assistant coach, having this duty, now is more focused on helping the players on PDC, on players development coaching. And he's helping also me a lot, because he's probably the best one giving me feedback, because he's keep thinking as a player.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that I will keep in mind for the future, because I think that if you are head coach and you had not the chance to be a great player, so I'm not Jasikevičius or even Milicic, I wasn't a pro player, you should have a player in your coaching staff, because he can give you some different feedback that the other just coaches cannot give you.
But it's interesting thing, because I was wondering if the fact this lack of pro career bothers you in the past, maybe when you compare yourself to other coaches, did you feel like difference that, okay, I'm not a, I wasn't a player, do you feel worse because of that?
I never felt that. I think that there are plus and minus on that. One thing is that if you, first of all, you study the game. So you really study the game. If you want to understand what you need to handle, you really study the game. It's not something that is natural for you or easy for you, you know. So you have to study a lot. And this is a suggestion that I'm giving every time to the young coaches. You have to study the game and you have to keep studying the game, even myself, because the game is changing very quickly. You know, we are right now, we don't play the same basketball that Montepaschi Siena was playing you know, 15 years ago. So you have to adapt, you have to maintain your identity and philosophy, basketball philosophy, if you want to talk that, use that term. But then you have to adapt what you think and which are your beliefs to the players you have. So every season is a new challenge, and it's very, very interesting, and it's very challenging. But probably the only minus you have is that, for example, one time I read the Jasikevičius book, and he spoke about him when he was going to Final Four. So going to Final Four the first time, he was shaking, not sleeping, and then the Final Four by Final Four, he was able to arrive, and it was normal for him to play Final Four. If you had the chance to be a Final Four player, then you know how a player can feel in that moment, because you've been through that. I cannot do that. Obviously, I cannot do that. I was Final Four coach, assistant coach for two times, but obviously you miss that part, and you cannot replace it. You can just imagine, you can try just to figure out. But the positive thing is that I never, and this is probably a kind of mistake that the former player could do, is that when I show something or the players are doing something, I never think, how you cannot get that? Because that's easy. You know, sometimes that can be a mistake.
Especially when you are a very good player.
Exactly. Yeah. So how you cannot understand or catch that, or how you cannot make that shot, because that's easy. Yeah. That was easy for you. I think I was you know, really bad as player. Yeah. So nothing is easy on the court, you know. And I think that for both parts, who is former player has to understand very quickly that he's no more a player, he's a coach, and the players are the main actor right now. So not even, for example, overcoach them. And on the other part, I know that I lack of something and I need to study probably more.
I once heard a podcast with Julio Velasco. He's now a volleyball coach.
Yeah?
And he said the number one thing a former pro player student who transferred into the coaching should do is to kill the player inside yourself.
For sure. I agree. I met one of my best friend that became a coach. Will be coach for the first time in next week. So he's very, very
stressed,
you know. And he kept doing during the dinner we had last Saturday night when I came back home. I played 18 years and I played 18 years and I played 18 years for 3-4 times. He said that. And I suggested him, you know, I know that, but don't say that to them. They don't give a shit what you did in the last 18 years. Now you are a coach and they need a coach. Even if you know situation, if you have knowledge, you have to try to transfer the knowledge. But like Velasco said, as a coach, because now you are a coach. You are no more teammates, you are no more basketball player, you are just a coach and you have to try to act like that.
And it was easy for you, because I know always when you are assistant coach, you are closer to the players because you can joke with them. And when you are become head coach, I think you have to be like create little more barrier because like of respect. Do you agree with that? Like,
no, I don't. I mean, I understand what you mean.
You can be a friend with them.
I don't want a friends. I mean, we can respect each other. We can be friends after. So I consider some players that I played friends now. Coach was a very, very honest and relationship built on respect each other, even when I was assistant coach. But why I told you joking, obviously, I disagree with you, because I kind of head coach that I joke with my players. I think that if we understand how serious we want to work, then out of we did what we have to do in the serious way, why I cannot joke with my players. I used to joke a lot with my players. That doesn't mean being friends. That doesn't mean try to, you know, let's say, have a lower level of you know, professionalisms being serious. We are really serious. We had another amazing practice today, very intense. But during the practice, I could say, "Hey, Kenny," or I, for example, today I say to Mike, "Hey, Mike, you can throw the lob to Kenny because even if he's 1989, he could still jump." You know, and you can have, I think, this kind of relationship. But it's exactly what I told you before. He's in this way because I am in this way. I'm not saying to the young coaches, you have to do in that way. Because probably some other Serbian coaches cannot do that. They prefer to be really strictly, really. But I think that the best thing you can allow and achieve, together is doing together with your players, not just demanding to your players. One of the key points of my coaching ideas is to let feel every player really involved and having the responsibility of building something. They are not following my instruction and that's it, like soldiers. We are everybody together and they have to bring their own and they have to feel responsible of that.
But you're saying that you want all the players to be involved, but how is like to managing the players who don't play too much because they're a reserve player? How you can tell them, okay, I believe in you, but I can't put you on the starting five because there are better players?
First of all is the gentleman agreement you have at the beginning of the season. So every season you, this is how I work. I talk with the players and they should know exactly which is their role in the team. So if they know that the role of them is a role of a player about 15 minutes or 10 minutes, they knew before to accept that. Second is in the talk I have, I never promise minutes. Because the minutes you play is the minutes you show you deserve in practice every day. So this is not something that I'm not giving you. You don't deserve it, those minutes. Then obviously everybody know exactly what they can or cannot do. But I think that this is something that is a feedback that I received from Poland. And I don't know if it's true, to be honest. So probably you can tell me that. I think that in Dąbrowa Górnicza, I was really appreciated by the players just because I used to treat everybody in the same way. Doesn't matter if you are Polish, if you are American. Some clubs and everybody do what they want. Sign the Americans and the Americans just shoot the ball 20 times and they don't care a lot to play defense. I'm not like this. Polish and American or Italian or whatever it is, you have to share the effort in defense and share the ball in offense. If you are open, you have to shoot. If you are not open, you have to pass the ball. Doesn't matter your passport. And I think the Polish player at that moment really appreciated that approach. And so that's a way to feel everybody involved, because everybody got the chance to prove their value, you know, even if for 1 second or for 25 minutes.
Maybe this beliefs for Americans is because when you signing foreigner players, you pay him usually more than domestic players, so you also demanding more from them.
But demanding more doesn't mean that they have to shoot 25 times. Or obviously you need the Americans to score, but you win something only if you have a very, very solid team chemistry, in my opinion, obviously. Then obviously I'm lucky now to have a very good player, but two of our main players to build are, you know, Kuonu and Nicola Akele, that are the less used players in our rotation, just because if we start missing pieces, it's like when you build a puzzle, you know, and if you figure out a puzzle like a team, for sure are bigger pieces of the puzzle, but even the small piece of the puzzle don't give you the chance to complete the picture if you are missing them. So we need everybody. We need even the guy that help you to have a higher intensity practice, and they know that. You need the kids from the academy, and then you need the main player that has to know that probably the last shot will be for him, but when he's double teamed, has to pass the ball.
How you approach like this younger players who comes from academy? Because there are many coaches that doesn't care about youngster. They want right now the results, the scores. And in another way, you can't putting younger players on the court just because they are young.
I mean, this is another good question, very good question. But I think this is not a coach responsibility. Cause why I tell you this? This is the completely system, basketball system responsibility. What I mean is, I cannot be at the same time, or I cannot feel responsible at the same time, or winning games and let the young players play. Because sometimes you cannot match those two things. Yes. You can win games letting the young players play if the young players are ready to play at the highest level. So it's easy to let Bellinelli and Mancinelli play when was in Fortitudo, Or now is Spagnolo, Procida. But for example, I'm talking about Spagnolo, NBA drafted. In the season he played, or Procida, in the season he played, the last two seasons in Italy, both times the teams were relegated. And I'm not saying it's because of them. Absolutely, I'm not saying because of them. I'm saying that the coach has the duty to win games. The club would love to win games. Okay? And so the players, the young players play if they are able to do that. If not, if it's a club decide to invest on the young prospects and doesn't care about the results, you can let the young players play and have experience,
Yeah.
I just want that when we have two young guy, the 11th and 12th player of the rotation, that are coming from the academy, and they are really, really growing a lot just because they have the chance to, to practice every day with the better player. I just want that they understand that they are solid, but if they are open, they have to shoot the ball. If they are, there is a closeout, they have to pass the ball. They have to make the right decisions. And I try to teach them exactly like I teach my most paid player. Then obviously, I let them play just if we are up by 20, but just not because I don't care about the academy, because we need to win games.
You told before that the basketball isn't the same as were during, for example, Siena times. Do you like the way basketball evolves today, that it becomes much faster, the players shooting much more from the distance, comparing to like 20 years ago?
Well, I mean, obviously you have to adapt respecting the physical and the athleticism of the players. They are now really, if you watch EuroLeague, everybody can switch on pick and roll. I think that the court is too small. The defense is choking the offense mostly of the time. You are playing many games, so even the will of the teams to run a lot is not so high, just because that you have to play 100 games in a season. But I cannot change it then. I love to play. I love to play high tempo. I love to play and try to attack in the first 8 seconds. I don't like the past a lot, the sets where you move the ball a lot to arrive to create something in the last 8 seconds. I try to have something and then in the first 8 seconds, and then, like I told you, maintaining the advantage in sharing the ball, try to going deep to the possession. So for sure, this is one of the main thing I would like to demand, and I require to my players. This idea of shooting threes and having a very, very, money ball, I don't like it a lot. But I'm not saying that I refuse that. I know how much important is the 3-point shooting. I know how much important is the fast break, but I think probably I'm young coach, but old school mentality. If you want to win something, you have to play defense. I never saw a team won something without playing defense. So after playing defense, you have more chances to grab rebound and run, and so there is fast break. If not, I think that you have to play with the strengths you have. So according with the analytics, the team I'm coaching has no chance to exist because Semaj Kriston is an average three-point shooter. Akele is an average three-point shooter. Bilan is just a post-up, or not just, but he's a post-up player. Barnell is a post-up player. We are the team that is shooting less than everybody else by 3 points. So if you see that, you say, that's really bad. And we are first in the standing in Italy. That is a quite good championship, you know. So every time you have to have an idea, you have to know where the basketball is moving. So I try to demand more three-point shot thanks to the drive and kick. So I demand to my players to be more aggressive, rejecting the pick and roll, attacking, or whatever it is and you want to talk about. So we are trying to touch some of those points, but I don't like seeing and saying, okay, the numbers say like that, so just play up and down and shoot much more three-point weekend, and at the end we will overscore the others. I mean, I'm not saying it's not working. It's not working for me. I cannot handle it. I could freak out, really. After one game, I could say, okay, that's not for me.
So I assume you are not a fan of current NBA style.
Not a great fan.
Because, like, with many coaches, I speak almost, for example, with Tabak, with many coaches from Poland, everybody's saying that they told players, watch EuroLeague, not NBA, because NBA is about individuals. If you want to learn basketball, for example, in tactic way, you should watch EuroLeague.
One time, one coach much better than me told me, NBA is a player's league, EuroLeague is a coaching league. And I don't tell you if I agree or not. I just tell you that for sure, I think that if in NBA that I consider more an highlights league, but one step behind, there are a lot of good stuff that I can usually watch to steal from NBA. But then you have to consider that the rules are different. Three defensive seconds change completely your defensive strategies. The court is wider. So the three-point line is far away from the basket. So it's not, we consider NBA, but is quite a different game, different sport, because there are different rules. But they used to do something pretty interesting. But every time I watch a lot of situation, then I have to consider that cannot work with us. Because in this situation in Europe, probably you are going to switch here, you are going to do this, you're going to feel the paint, just because the rules are different. And the second thing is that if Luka Doncic scores 80 points, for the reason why he's an highlights league, everybody loved that. Because NBA is, wow, Luka Doncic, unbelievable. Yeah. I think that if you allow somebody to score 80 in EuroLeague, you are fired the day after. You know. Now, obviously, that's a joke.
Yeah.
But nobody have the will to let you do what you can do. We try to choke you, to take away your strength, to emphasize your weaknesses. So our approach to the coaching is a bit different. I was really lucky one time in 2012 or 13, I don't remember. It was Luca Banchi head coach season in Siena. And we were, us and Madrid, the only two European teams allowed to go to have scrimmages in preseason in United States. And we played against San Antonio Spurs and Cleveland Cavaliers. The day before the game, we went out for dinner with Coach Pop, Budenholzer, and Brett Brown, his former assistant coaches, but the season after they became Atlanta and Philadelphia 76ers head coach. So almost three NBA head. Yeah. And I made a question about, pick-and-roll defense. So I said, but if you play drop defense against a four-man shooter and he's going to pop, what do you do? And the answer was exactly the same. We have no time to adjust, or we don't adjust just because we find this or that. Our approach is completely different. We try to have our identity for sure, but we adjust something in order of the opponent. So for sure, I agree with Tabak or those coaches that EuroLeague is what to learn from watching EuroLeague. You can learn something. And if you ask me which is your dream, for sure before then NBA, like probably every player would love to go NBA, I would like to be EuroLeague coach.
So, for example, EuroLeague title means more for you than NBA title?
I cannot say that. But let me win a EuroLeague title and I will answer that.
What was the biggest challenge you faced when you first time moved outside Italy? I mean, to go to Russia.
I was quite lucky, and was quite easy at the beginning because I was with Luca Banchi. So obviously same languages, same background, many years together. I spent with him vacation 8 years in a row, vacation with him. He's like a brother for me. So it was really, really easy. Was at the beginning out of the court. On the court, was not so easy. We were losing games, and now I feel that I didn't help him like I would like to do. But I don't know even if it was possible to help him more, because the situation was not the best. The hardest time comes when he left before than me, and I was there alone
with Russian coach. Yes,
with a Serbian coach that was the video analyst, that now is the one of the assistant coach of Obradovic in Partizan. He became ad interim the coach, and then Pashutin arrived, the Serbian coach. And I was there, and I was doing my stuff. I tried to be, the best version of myself, but the situation was a bit weird. And when the practice was over, I just need to wait for the day after, because in 3 months I was there, I never shared the beer with somebody of the staff. I was really in a city that don't love to talk English, without knowing Russian alone, was pretty tough from a human side. I was just lucky because in ground floor of my building was a real Italian restaurant with the owner was Italian, so I just used to go dinner to him every night, and going to the club in front to watch the Juventus game, Champions League at 11 p.m. That was the thing I used to do more.
And could you compare Russian league to Italian league, which is like, what are the biggest different similarities? Because I know even from Russian team there is a big thing like traveling.
Thinking that Krasnodar is 2 hours and a half from Moscow, and then Moscow is 3 hours from everywhere, So traveling is really, really one of the not problem, but you have to consider for sure that traveling is not the same than other things. Before the war, obviously, St. Petersburg, Kazan, CSKA Moscow, Lokomotiv Kuban, before was even Khimki, obviously great clubs. There are really great clubs, great players, so many good players used to go there just because even the money they give you. So it was really, really, really good. After the war, I think that right now, after SEB, the Spanish league, Italy is one of the, the most balanced league. You see, Brindisi won 3 games out of 20, and one against us and one against Virtus Bologna. So in Italy, you can go and lose everywhere, every time. Not everywhere happened like this.
And what you knew about Poland before you receive offer, before you sign a contract with Dąbrowa Górnicza?
Almost nothing. I know that it's a cold, cold country. No, I'm joking. I didn't know anything. I just left from Russia. I was 1 month here, just you know, traveling, and I received a call when I was watching in Pesaro the Italian Final Eight. An agent, Jodolski, that I met him when he was, Lavrinovic agent that I coached in Siena, called me and offered me, say, there is a chance to have an interview in the team that is relegated at the bottom of the standing. We need to save it. Do you would like to accept this challenge? But before of that, watch the last three games, and then you will talk with the president and you will say to him what you think about. So instead of going to watch the Italian Final Eight teams, I just went straight to the hotel, watched those games. I had a call, and then he offered me the job. I had no chance to say, no, I don't want to come. I just want to... You know, I was in a moment where I was so suffering that I say, I need this challenge to see if I can bounce back.
Yeah, because you had this experience stuff in Armenia, and it was like second time when you were trying as a first coach.
But what did then? I was not scared about being.
You didn't think about this time.
No. Because I knew that it was first division team. I know there was six American players. I could handle, and knowing that usually the American players that join Poland have a great expectation to themselves, because usually you join Poland at the beginning of your career, or you are that kind of player that used to go there and be the best scorer for many years in that. If not, usually you sign the rookies that have to go through Poland to grow, and so I know that, and I knew that I could do something special for those kind of players to try to motivate them. So I had for not one second the fear to say, no, probably I'm not able to be head coach. And I also say to my agent, if he's not first division in Italy, instead of going back like the previous experience, I would like to find a place abroad in different country, because for that reason. I think that being honest pay off every time. So I arrived and I try to be myself in a way I approach the people, in a way I try to transfer my ideas, and that's pretty much worked.
So you wasn't worried about position of Dąbrowa, if
no.
You can manage them? Because finally, okay, COVID happened, but Dąbrowa finished at the last position.
It's not last, but Paul Farmer was last.
Yes. But somehow, yeah, you receive a chance to build a team for
exactly.
And I was, how you remember like the process of building this at that roster? Because when I remember, it was Mazurczak, it was Limur later moved with you, I think, yes.
No, even before it was with me.
Yes,
I met him already, and I coached him here in Brescia when I was assistant coach, and I tried to bring him because I knew exactly what he could do in that league.
But it was easy for you to convince players to join the team who finished at the almost bottom of the...
I mean, a great help was from Radek Soja, my assistant coach. He really helped me a lot to watch players and to help me to understand which kind of players could be effective and could really perform in the Polish league, because he obviously had more, experience than me, and he had a huge support and part on this process. If I have one quality, I think that I'm able to talk with the people, So every time I spoke with people, obviously you need even the money to convince them. But what we showed was the program in order to develop them. I think that the best sign we had was Andy Mazurczak, as a Polish player coming to us, gave us the chance to have another foreign player in another role. And I'm really happy to see that he is where he deserved to be. And even the first season, then he was called by the Polish national team. So this is mostly what I offer to the players. I never say, you come here and we win. Because you, even if you have one season, the team to do that, you cannot do that. Because at the end of the season, out of 16 teams or 18 teams, doesn't matter, only one wins something. That doesn't mean that the others did a really bad job. It depends who you are and which are your goals. Our goals was, if you want to join here, I promise you that I will coach you every day. And I will stay close, not even over you, close to you every day to push you to be the best version of yourself. Then if we are good enough, we can do something great. But I think everything is in a gentleman agreement you have at the beginning of a season. You cannot just finish and think that everything we do in a season is because one shot that is going short or long on the rim. That's bad. You have to consider the job you did so far.
It was easy for you to create a relationship with Polish players? It's like different culture.
I think that in a way I try to treat them and approach them even technically was really easy. And I think that way, that was not, you know, I didn't say now I'm acting like this so that they give me something back. No, I used to do that every time with everybody. Italian players, American players, if I will go to Spain, will be with the Spanish players. I treat everybody in the same way. Doesn't matter the passport you have. And that's the reason why the Polish player felt really involved more than probably in the previous experience. So I had a great help from the captain Pjekovic, from Novakovsky, even the young guy, you know, we had Kuba. Really, I have a great memory from everybody. Even the young Krochak we signed, it was, you know, really helpful for us. Then I know that sometimes now some players are playing in second division and are trying to be, like I said, find your dimension where you feel not comfortable, because I hate being in comfort zone, but where you feel happy and try to be the best version of yourself. And I will help you to try to reach your goals. That's what I want to do, even if I have to, you know, to be like I did in national team. In a national team, it's the same. The only situation you have is that you were wearing a country uniform, so you have to respect that uniform. But then you are coaching people, and then you have to treat people, to try to let them know that you are there for them, to help them to be better. That's the only thing.
How your perception about Polish league change since this time in Dąbrowa Górnicza? I mean, how you remember today Polish league?
I mean, I love Polish league. I love Poland. I love Poland. I love Polish league. I told you, they gave me the fee to play in the casino over the table. They gave me, really. Coach Łukasz gave me. I really own everything that I'm right now to the Poland and Polish league. And they really treat me like a king. I never cannot say anything about. Even if, you know, wasn't the biggest city or best club in the world. But they gave me everything they could give me. So I could never say more than thanks a lot. I think it's a very involved and developed league. It's a kind of, Radek used to joke with that, it's a kind of bully league. Say very physical.
Yes.
Very physical. The referee don't used to call a lot. So you have to get habit to play against contact, being really tough, being aggressive. And I love that. Really, I love that. Then obviously, like I told you, I tried to bring my ideas. And some ideas worked, some others I should adapt. But I really took a lot. The only thing I didn't like so much, but this is kind of a situation that I think, and probably I'm wrong. What I saw is that if somebody is going there and is winning something, some of others try to copy past. So Coach Milicic arrived bringing the 1-3-1 zone and everybody was playing then 1-3-1 zone. Then Coach Tabak was playing the special 2-3 zone that I call it the Polish 2-3 with, you know, two guards. And then many teams used to do that. We brought the 3-2 matchup zone. So I would love, but not because Poland, I would love in general in life, if young coaches are watching this podcast, that everybody is trying to steal and see what we can do, but then try to develop your own idea and try to work with your character and your own idea. Because copy-paste at the end has not the same power.
So like we can say Poland was a game changer in your life.
For sure. Absolutely.
And do you remember the one game, maybe you have one game in your mind for that season that you were the most proud of your team, of your players? Like one game when, like almost perfect game you played.
No, it was not a perfect game, but I remember, for example, the game we won in Anvil after the overtime with the Limur shot, just because we were struggling and you know that season was really, really bad at the beginning and really, really good after, just because at the beginning our arena wasn't available. And even the travel are not like Russia, but traveling by bus in Poland is not easy, you know, especially from Dąbrowa. And so we played a lot of games on the road away.
Yes.
And it was tough to win, you know. But that was the first one. The first one that we won was crazy. Everybody were happy. And you know, when you lose for many, many games along a long period, you could risk to stop believing that what you are doing can work. But then winning that game, we try to, let's say, fuel our will and desire to show that we could compete. And then we started to win a couple of games. The other game important we won was in Torun, but if you remember, was the really bad game where Sasha Kileja-Jones torn his ligament. Was really, really bad what happened. And that's happened in a game that we already won at the end, you know. But then the second round, many games at home, many wins. I don't have a special one, but I remember really the environment, the vibes I could really breathe of the players that could really feel that, you know, what we were doing were good and they really believe in what we were doing. And we completely trusted in the chance to reach the playoff. One of the thing that
yeah, you were so close to,
exactly yeah. We arrived and then Spunia I think went to the yes, but one of the things that let me be more proud about that season and that group is that you see that sometimes in Poland in the last games players are changing teams or are receiving offers and they change the roster, and even some of my players received that and nobody left because everybody wants to stay there to try to reach the goal we set it up together at the beginning of the season. This means a lot.
You were speaking before about Mazurczak. Right now he's reigning MVP of the Polish league. Are you surprised of his development, or maybe do you think you put a little stone in his development?
I hope to, like I used to do with everybody, I hope that I gave him at least one small part to, you know, to develop and to grow as a person and as a player. I'm not absolutely surprised because we saw the potential he could have, and he was one of the key players in that season. But we, even talking with him, we knew that he could have even more upside, you know, more room to develop and be a better player. So I'm really, really happy that he could, you know, help the team to win, being MVP, you know, being around the national teams. He deserves it because he's an amazing guy, great player, but even more an amazing guy. And I'm sure he remember me like I remember him.
You told before that many things changed in Brescia since your first stint and your second stint, right now, when you compare the old time to today. And what made this club so good at your like first season? Because you join, you have a break from Italian basketball. I was thinking, do you see some difference? Maybe do you think when you come to Italy with the, for example, fresh head, with new ideas, new experience, you had different approach to the games in Italy? Like,
I try to transfer my ideas. For example, pistol offense that we still run in transition. For example, I stopped to use the matchup zone just cause, and I use, for example, just with the under 20 national team, just cause it's a league where you know, the other players usually are really, you know, well prepared, good shooter. I tried to adapt my ideas to the new league. Obviously, this league is really competitive. You face very amazing teams like, you know, Venice, Bologna, Tortona, Milano, that are top level team. But like I said before, everybody have good players. Everybody, Italians and Americans. But I try to bring my ideas, and then, like I told you, a good coach has to understand what can do with the players that are in the roster. The lucky part is that when I arrived here, I had just Amedeo Della Valle at the roster, and then I decided I had the license to, with Marco De Benedetto and my assistant coaches, to build the roster exactly like I would like to do, respecting my idea of basketball. And so far in 3 years, you know, was third position in playoff the first season, Italian Cup last season, and Euro Cup playoff. And this season we are first in a standing. So to be honest, I also went through worse the season than this one. You know?
So how you felt when you received award from the coach of the year?
I don't want to feel so much humble and somebody think that's a fake. For sure, I was happy. First experience as head coach in first division and award, for sure. And if I will receive another one, I won't complain. But at the end, I used this sentence with every player at the beginning of the season. So this award is in my living room getting dust. Don't give me anything more. I don't know if you get the point. The best award for a coach, or for at least myself, is what the players talk and show you at the end of a season together. So, like you said, Andy Mazurchak or Novakovsky there, or the captain, you know, Marek, that is still texting me. Those are the awards you have. That means that you left something. Because winning, we are giving too much credit to winning something. And obviously the resume and the CV, obviously, I want this, I want this, I want this, can help to get a new job. But as a human being, what I really care is to help people to be better and be helped by the people to be better. At the end of the season, if every player I coached would love to stay and be coached by me one more season, that's the best award. Or if going to another club, say, hey, but that coach changer, that was the game changer for me. That's the best award.
And you have chance to compete with Milicic in this this season. And also, you compete against each other on the Italian Cup recently. What are coach against him in Poland, because he was in Ostrów, I think, at that time.
Yes.
Yes. What is your opinion?
I lost two times in Poland. We won against him 2 times in the regular season, but then we lost the most important game. Yeah, but what so it's 3-2 for him.
What do you think about him? Because he's also a head coach of Polish national team. He coached a Polish team to 4th place at the Eurobasket last.
He's for sure a very, very well-prepared coach. You can really easily see the teams coached by him. Because he's very good to bring and transfer the ideas he has to the players. And you can really immediately see what he's giving, especially from the defensive part to the players. He's very, very demanding, very sharp on details. Obviously, he was pretty smart because he brought Sokolowski that know him very well. He's a great bond each other. So probably Sokolowski for sure helped him to build that, and he's doing great. Obviously, like, you know, he won the Italian Cup, that gave him, unbelievable credit for the season, because at the end of the season, by the way, one of the 3 trophies is won by Naples and Milicic, like us in Brescia last season. What I think he's trying to do is understand, he's trying, like I did in Poland, to bring his ideas and then, game by game, trying to adapt what is working and what's not in this championship. That is different respecting the Turkish, the Polish, and everybody else. But for sure, one of the best good things I can say about him is that he's really, really prepared, and you can easily see on the team that he is the coach.
You already won Coppa Italia, but now you are first in the league. I assume that the Scudetto is on your like bucket list.
We want to dream. Our hashtag is Dream Big. We want to compete. We want to try to compete. We started with the will to try to compete, and now after 20 games, we are first in the standing with the second one with 1 game distance. We have 10 games to run. Now we have to focus game by game because we know that every team is fighting for something. Don't be relegated, reaching the playoff, having a better position in a playoff. And like us, we would like game by game to deserve to maintain the first position. Then arriving to the playoff, let's see what's happened. But we received another lesson in the Italian Cup. We knew exactly what could happen, and we would like don't let it happen again. Then obviously, you know, Italian Cup is a weird and competition because it's a do or die game every time. In playoff is a series, so you can even miss 1 game and try to bounce back. But obviously, we know our league is Milano, Bologna, Venice, Tortona too, as budget and players. Then it's us, and we would like to see if we are able to show that the money are not the most important thing.
You correct me if I'm wrong, but this season you didn't play in any European
no.
Cup. Exactly. But it was like your decision, or you were invited? Because in previous season you played in Euro Cup.
Yes, well, no, it was a club decision. They said we didn't deserve to run the cup because we didn't get the playoff last season. We would like to have a step back, to have a 3 step forward in the future. So just focus on a league, but don't reducing the budget and don't, cutting something. We just invest the same money even more than last season to be focused on the league, and then try to see if we are able to deserve next year to play the European competition again.
And coming to the end, because at the beginning we talked a little bit about the relationship, but how you combine a coach role and father and husband role? How you can divide these 2 lives and not to bring home, you know, for example, after the game, you sometimes can be angry or something like that, and how would you, do you have like special things, special tips you are using to, you know, separate this life, and how you compare in general?
I'm not the best one to switch off, and that's a problem. You are right. Is You know, first of all, because we used to do a job that we could do even for free, and we are paid for that because we love what we do. I mean, even if it's stressful, even if you can have problem, even if you can lose games, multiple games in a row, even if you can have a bad relationship with your management or whatever it is, can happen, you know, in your career, in your journey, that you can have bad persons around you or bad moments. And so it's really stressful, but it's still what we love. That's the reason why when we are home, we watch basketball games, or if there is the break, the FIBA window, but there are the national team games, we watch games, you know. And the wife and the daughter probably are not the happiest person of the world. But it's very important sometimes to remember what is really important in life, because this is a passion that for Lucky is even a job. But then you have to remember that you have friends, you have to remember that you have parents, and sometimes parents are not healthy, and you know that the parents won't stay forever, you know. So I think that you have to be mature enough, and once again, I'm not the best one to do that. But you have to remember which are the really most important thing in life. For myself, my job is important, really important. And it's taking probably 70% of the day and 95% of mentally of your day. But at the end, you have to remember that if you lose a game, even an important game, you are pissed, but it's just a game. And then probably if you are lucky and good enough, you will have another chance. What I say to my players, we lost a game in a competition that last season nobody accepted that we could win, and we won. What we have to do is working to try to deserve another chance. Working to deserve another chance. The chances in life are not a lot. So if you are lucky to have the chance, you have to work seriously and push for that. But then remember that you have family at home, you have parents, you have friends. At the end of the day, those are the most important thing.
I remember I spoke with Bruno Rezende. He's also a volleyball player, and his father, Bernardo, is one of the best volleyball coaches in history. And he told me a story, because his mother also was a great volleyball player, that when his mother came, and he remembers when she was playing, and he told me that when mother came to home after the game, okay, maybe for the 3, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, she was still angry because of the loser. But they saw a son, and they completely, you know, put aside the sport aspect, and was like a normal person, normal mother. But she said, father, no. Father was bringing
everything.
Yeah, work. He was workaholic. We were thinking even during meetings. And I was wondering, are you able to, like, disconnect from basketball? Like,
it's difficult. I make an example to let you understand. We lost the game against Naples and Coach Milicic. I came back here, day off, then 2 days working, just because I just planned for the team a week off starting from Monday. Because anyway, we are here from August 6th, and they deserve time for them to recover mentally and physically, to enjoy the family. When we lost the game, I met my daughter and my wife after the game. And my daughter came to me and was almost crying, you know. But I know why she was almost crying. And then my wife told me that. She was not sad because the defeat, because we lost the game. She was worried because she was thinking that then we need to go to the mountains for vacation. And he was thinking, how we can go vacation if dad is with that face and is, you know, angry like this. So obviously, like I told you, I'm not the best one on that. The first day was terrible. The first day was terrible. But after that, you try to don't read the newspaper. you know, the don't read the messages, leave the phone, enjoy the family, enjoy, you know, your friends or whatever you want, you have the time to do that. It's not easy, but really, you have to rate the most important things in your life daily basis. And at the end, you have to come back on the most important one.
What was the best life lesson basketball teach you?
Really, basketball can give you the chance to meet many people, to open your mind, to travel a lot. I'm really thinking that I'm lucky to don't be the guy that is living in a place and dying in the same place without having the chance to see something different, to try to think something different. What I was really scared is to be the kind of guy that thinking to be right every time. You know, I try to judge myself daily basis and thinking that probably what I was doing until yesterday is no more the right thing to do. And this is something that basketball teaching me just goes gave me the chance to find many scenarios, many good or bad situations, many good or bad people, and is a very, very good you know, lucky for me.
And at the end, because I also always asking my guests to pick a dream team, but dream team from the players they worked with or played with. So in your case, I would like to see your dream team. It can be when it comes to sport aspect, it can be when it comes to the sympathy, mm-hmm. I don't care, but you have to work with them as assistant, as a head coach, with explanation. So I will start with point guard.
Terrell McIntyre.
Why?
Terrell McIntyre was the first point guard they have, amazing. Obviously was a small but big, think frame, but amazing. He teached me really the will that the small guy that can climb the mountains and score and drop 31 points or 35, I don't remember, against Panathinaikos, the one EuroLeague, really fighting against everything and everybody, and was a great, great leader. Was a great leader. So no doubts, the Red McIntyre.
Shooting guard?
Shooting guard right now, I would say Amedeo Della Valle is the guy that is following me, because obviously I was like, it's tough for me to have a dream team because I coached a very good coach, well, very good players, yeah. You know. So I could say Rimantas Kaukenas or Henry Domer, Cantor, whatever, or even Drew Nicholas that then was MVP and was winning EuroLeague with Panathinaikos. I coached him the first year, but Amedeo Della Valle is the guy that now is in this moment from 3 years, really shoulder to shoulder with me in this new project that is a project that after Poland can give me the chance to do something great. And so obviously Amedeo Della Valle with the backup that obviously CJ Massenburg, that is a kind of guy that from last season and is having the best upside possible.
Small forward?
Small forward, I would say David Moss. David Moss, because was not the best small forward I coached. Before the name was Romain Sato, then it was Malik Ayrston. But with David, I have a very, very, very deep connection. And one thing that I would love to share was one time he told me I never was the best player of the team I've played with, but I was the guy that I tried to do everything that the coach needs to try to win games. And he's the guy that teach me that, and this is something that I try to transfer to every player I coach, because that kind of mentality is really a winning mentality.
Power forward?
Power forward, no doubts, Sean Stonebrook. Sean Stone Rook is, I mean, is really the monster of everybody. He could do things just because his BBIQ passing abilities, will, wasn't the more, you know, most athletic. He was not shooting threes like Fotsis. He was not, but defense, rebounding, passing, vision, leadership, by far the number one. And he was even a guy that in those years helped me with his charisma, with his even leadership as a young guy to, you know, to get confidence respecting my role inside the team, was really, really close to me. Even like I told you before, I never was at that moment friends of somebody. I consider him a good friend now.
Center?
Center, now we have Miro. So Miro Bilan is because he's a guy. We never had a great center in even in the Monte Paschi era. The centers were very, very good, but every time role players, but wait one second. If we consider Lavrinovic a center, Lavrinovic. I mean, obviously he was playing 4 and 5. But Lavrinovic was a game changer at that time because was one of the first that was using more the pick and pop to shoot threes than twos, and was really amazing. Was one of the key player in the Siena dynasty. Obviously, if we talk about poor center, Miro is a guy that changed completely our game and style, just cause passing abilities, BBIQ, very similar than Sean Storrock in a different role. I'm just waiting for you to be a bit more tough and tougher, but I will wait for playoff.
Coach, you can put yourself.
No, I don't want to put myself. I think obviously Luca Banchi is the coach that gave me more in order of friendship and in order of BBIQ. But I was like I told you, my will is to try to get something from everybody, because the day you think you are arrived, somebody already overcome you. So we have to really have the will to push yourself and be the best version of yourself every day.
Apart of staying healthy, what can I wish to you?
To win the title. No, I... you know, I would love to stay in this business for a long time, and the thing you could wish me more is that what I care the most is to try to leave a mark. So be remembered is much better than win something.
Can I wish you a contract in Poland again?
Never say never. I love Poland. I was great in Poland. I would love to come back to meet many, many persons that I met there, so who knows?
So, grazie mille, coach.
Prego.
It was a great pleasure to meet you, even after so many my tries, after, you know, so many years. That, and thank you for hosting me here in Brescia, in this great hall. So, è un grande piacere. So, like, I wish you, your family, and entire organization all the best.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was really a pleasure to spend this time with you and bring the really, really great thank you and, you know, hello to everybody in Poland, because I really, really take care and have a great memory of my time spent in your country. Thank you very much.